We're calling back to our series in September called On the Rocks, a look at Wisconsin's alcohol culture. We covered different aspects of our state's relationship with alcohol and drinking. Today, alcohol policy experts from around Wisconsin met for the 2014 Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Seminar.
We have one of the speakers from that seminar with us now to talk about our often unhealthy relationship with alcohol in a public health context. Karen Timberlake is with us now. She's director of the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. Karen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, just refresh us here to get an idea of the problem. How bad is risky drinking in Wisconsin?
You know, this is one of those categories where Wisconsin leads the nation and we wish we didn't. So often drunk driving gets a strong focus when we're thinking about a culture of risky drinking, but I think it's important for people to remember that the problems that are associated with Wisconsin's alcohol culture go well beyond drunk driving. We know that excessive alcohol consumption, and again, we're not talking about a glass of wine with dinner, a beer with a friend. We're talking about this culture that we have of people really drinking to excess over and over and over. And we know that this is leading to premature deaths. We know it's a major contributor to a variety of illnesses. And really, even from the perspective of an employer, excessive alcohol consumption leads to both a great deal of absenteeism, but also what's called presenteeism. So people who are present at work but are not terribly productive. So when you look at it all told, there's just really a tremendous cost on individuals and their own health and well-being, our family lives, the health of our communities, the productivity of our workplaces. We have a lot of work left to do.
We've heard a lot over the last few years that Wisconsin ranks often worst in the nation when it comes to drunk driving. How do we rank in the nation when it comes to the other negatives that you talked about, the binge drinking, the other unhealthy drinking?
Yep. So binge drinking is another category where we continue to be first or last, depending on how you look at it, in the country. And that holds true whether you're looking at the percent of adults who say that they binge drink, which on average in Wisconsin is 25% of Wisconsin. So 25%, one out of four of adults in Wisconsin report not only that they binge drink, meaning that they consume more than five drinks at a sitting for a man, more than four drinks at a sitting for a woman, but actually the average number of drinks that those drinkers report is more like nine at a sitting. So we're well above that, even what that sort of clinical definition of binge drinking is. And people report engaging in that kind of behavior as often as about five times a month, so on a weekly or better than weekly basis. And of course, if you look at young adults, you know, kind of that 18 to 44 year old age group, those numbers are all higher. So clearly there's a sort of tradition in our state of drinking to excess. The good news is there are a whole lot of communities and community organizations and leaders really coming together to work on this.
You know, I was looking at some demographic charts of drinking nationwide, and anytime there's a chart like that, there's a substantial part of the population that drinks zero.
Exactly.
Why should they care? Why should they have a stake in the issue for the people at the other end of that chart, those people drinking nine drinks in a sitting?
Right, right. It's really a great question. You know, I guess this comes down to a case of we all are affected by the behavior of this group that chooses to drink to excess, whether we realize it or not. So again, we think about, you know, the risks of driving on the highways at night when we're not sure about, you know, the sobriety level of the drivers around us. That's one sort of concrete experience that I think we all have had. But then if we think just back to the dollars and cents of this, the lost productivity that's experienced by our employers in our state, what we all pay in healthcare costs. So we may think that if a person, you know, falls while drunk, is injured, goes to the hospital, well, those are costs that they have to pay. And yet we know that if that happens to be a person who's covered by the Medicaid program or the Medicare program, we all as taxpayers are paying those costs. If they're a person without insurance, we all, as purchasers of healthcare and participants in the healthcare system, are paying those costs as well. There are tremendous costs to our criminal justice system, to our social service, you know, human service system, child welfare, juvenile justice, all those things. So you really can't escape the effects of excessive alcohol consumption in the Wisconsin economy.
All right, so there's our problem. Now, you and a lot of other public health people got together today at this Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Seminar. What are you hoping to accomplish there?
So this is an event that has happened for about 5 years now, and it really brings together local leaders from all across the state, sponsored by the UW Law School along with other partners. And what's important to know about this work is that all across our state, there are things that local communities not only can do but are doing to try to really change that culture of excessive alcohol use and try to focus more on creating healthy communities where we don't have those kinds of problems. So there are a lot of really innovative efforts going on in the state to build strong partnerships with schools and local law enforcement officials, local business leaders, local chambers, civic organizations, who all say, you know, it would really be better for this particular locality if we could, for example, restrict how many beer tents we have at the county fair. So we can have some, but, do, you know, do we need to have as many as we had last year? What are we doing to make sure that young people in middle school and high school, you know, I'm a parent of a middle schooler, and it amazes me to say it, but there's still a significant number of kids in our state who start to drink before the age of 13. And we know that the earlier kids are exposed to alcohol, the more likely they are to have longer-term problems as they grow up. And so those are all issues that really can be addressed at that local community level and also require, you know, partners from all around the community to come together. So that was the focus of the discussion today.
We're talking to Karen Timberlake about Wisconsin's relationship with alcohol.
And we're taking your calls now. Do you think Wisconsin has an alcohol problem? And how do you think we need to reframe the conversation about alcohol and alcoholism in Wisconsin? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email to talk@wpr.org.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation with Karen Timberlake of the UW Population Health Institute about our state's relationship with alcohol.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think we need policy changes here in Wisconsin when it comes to alcohol? Do we need a culture change in Wisconsin when it comes to drinking? Call 800-642-1234 or send an email, talk@wpr.org. Karen, let's get into that idea of culture change. Are there segments of our population, the people drinking in dangerous amounts, binge drinking and driving, are they surrounded by a community that does the same thing they do, so they find it as a normal part of life?
Well, certainly we know that that's true in certain cases, but we know that that there'll be other cases where there may be sort of a more of a opportunity to be healthy in a community, and individuals may take sort of the wrong path. So that's why we really do need a comprehensive set of approaches. There are some policy changes that can help to make it less likely for people to drink to excess, and particularly, again, if we're thinking about our kids and young adults. There are about 30 communities across our state now that have adopted what are called social host ordinances, which create consequences for parents and other adults who hold drinking parties for kids who are underage. So, you know, that's one strategy. Another strategy is something that the business community in our state is really starting to get behind, which is making sure that in a health care setting, people are screened for excessive alcohol consumption and for prescription and illicit drug abuse and even for depression, things we might call behavioral health concerns. We aren't routinely screened for those things when we go to the doctor, and yet our blood pressure is checked, our height and weight are checked. Well, it turns out that excessive alcohol consumption and undiagnosed depression and prescription and illicit drug abuse, those things all contribute just as much to our good health or our lack of good health, as do high blood pressure and maybe being a little bit overweight. So the employer community is starting to say, listen, we are experiencing the costs and the consequences of unaddressed excessive alcohol consumption, and so we are supporting payment changes and care delivery changes in the healthcare setting that are going to try to get those things addressed. So there's a wide variety of interventions that can take place and should take place.
Let's go to a caller now. We've got Michelle on the line in Green Bay. Michelle, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up, Michelle?
Well, she mentioned culture change for the alcohol culture of Wisconsin. And I work in the healthcare industry, and I'm sorry I don't have permission to name my facility, but I am kind of biased because I see the bad results of the alcohol. I see it an awful lot. But when I'm trying to educate people, I'm running into the fact that the adults don't want to recognize that the culture is part of the problem. So they don't tell the children it's not okay to drink. They say, oh, you can have a little bit, or social drinking is okay, and they're always accepting it. And there's a lot of jokes that until you start paying attention, you don't even recognize how prevalent the I need a drink because work's been hard type of comments are actually contributing to the impression that drinking alcohol is okay.
Interesting, Michelle. Thank you so much. So, Karen, that idea of adults modeling better or, in this case, worse behavior for their kids.
Right. It's a great point. And it also really brings up the power of those personal experiences. So, you know, Michelle's really talking about what she's seeing in a healthcare setting, and she's seeing the very real consequences and the fact that, you know, as much as it's tempting to make a joke and to sort of laugh about Wisconsin being known for beer and cheese and brats and the Packers, all the things we're known for, the reality of it is that these are things with real consequences for kids and families. And so I'd love to tell you that there's an easy silver bullet solution to what she's describing, and we all know that there's not. So what that means is there's a role for every sector of our society. There's a role for faith communities. There's a role for schools. There's a role for healthcare. There's a role for civic organizations in deciding to take this issue on and really address it seriously.
Michelle, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Karen, you've mentioned a couple times local initiatives. I understand at the Population Health Institute, you've got a new resource for community health officials and others. Can you tell us about that?
I'd love to. And this is in the category of don't ever try to describe a website on the radio, but I'm about to. So what we did at the Population Health Institute was we wanted to understand what are those local health improvement priorities that our community health leaders are working on. So we looked at plans that are done every 5 years by local public health departments and also a new set of community health improvement plans that have been done by hospitals all across Wisconsin. This is a new requirement of the Affordable Care Act. And what we found, to cut to the chase, is in the most common health improvement priorities that were mentioned in those plans all across the state was alcohol. So in 60 of Wisconsin's 72 counties, there is either a hospital or a set of hospitals or a public health department or both who have picked excessive alcohol consumption as one of those local health improvement priorities. So we've put all that up on a website, which is called improvingwisconsinhealth.org, and Wisconsin is just WI. And we wanted to really create opportunities for local communities to connect with each other. We know that this is hard, complex work. It takes a long time, requires engagement, as we said, of local government leaders, civic leaders, families, churches, schools, everybody. And there's strength in numbers and there's strength in being able to share ideas. And that was really our goal in developing this resource.
Let's go back to another caller. We've got Dan on the line in Madison. Dan, hi.
Hi. Yeah. I just want to sort of reinforce some of the things that have already been said. I grew up in Minnesota, went to college in Minnesota, moved to Madison a few years ago for a job. And just, you know, even between the two states next to our neighbors, I feel like there's a significant shift in the culture. There's just a lot more binge drinking that goes on here from my experience anyway. You know, I could count on one hand probably the number of times I binge drank before moving here. And now it's pretty common just because that's, you know, sort of what everyone in my age group does. And more than that, you know, I feel like something needs to change just in terms of, you know, every day I go online and see more news headlines about fifth, sixth, seventh repeat offense drunk drivers. And I don't know whether that can be resolved through culture change or you know, through policy, but, you know, that's been sort of reinforced me too. A friend of mine was killed by a drunk driver 2 years ago, and I just feel sort of impotent. Like, you know, obviously people are trying to change something. I just don't know what the answer is, you know, make a donation to Matt or what. Yeah, so it's sort of my piece. Thank you.
Dan, thanks so much, and sorry for your loss. Karen, Dan says something needs to change. Coming out of this seminar on alcohol policy today, are you optimistic that something's going to change?
I really am, because, you know, it was a room full of people who are working hard at the local level. They are making progress. They're picking up partners. You know, the fact that we have so many public health departments and hospitals, you know, think about who's on boards of health in local communities. Think about who's on hospital boards of directors. These are important community leaders, and they're folks who can get things to happen in communities. And we have a whole group of those leaders all across the state saying it's really time for things to change with this culture of excessive alcohol use. So I think there's very good reason to be optimistic.
It's an issue we'll keep following. Karen, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
That's Karen Timberlake. She's director of the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute, with us to talk about the 2014 Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Seminar held today.